This is CliffCentral.com.
In the middle, that's right. That's what I'm talking about on a Friday morning. The middle. It's Zed, Maren Morris, and Gray. I don't know who Gray is, but the others I'm really tight with.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Zed and Maren Morris. You know them. You've met them. They came here the other day.
Oh, they
were here. They
what wanted did they to, look like?
They wanted to borrow some sugar. And Jane had to go and find them some sugar. Remember they?
Oh, those ones.
Yeah, they live here in Rivonia. They moved in with the Chinese.
Sorry, what are their names again?
Maren Morris and Zed.
Oh.
And Gray, I'm not sure of. Mm. Ben, do you know Gray?
No, Jane kicked him down the stairs before he even got up here.
Wow.
Unfortunate.
Jane does judge quickly.
Hey, you know, it's Friday and it's been a busy week. I've got something here for Mubs and for Ben. We've got a place down the road here. We've spoken to them once or twice before called Skin Sense.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Great food.
I think Mabali needs a massage.
You know,
I'll give you one of those.
I remember this because the last time these ladies came in here, one of them touched me in a magical way.
Yes. And you don't like being touched?
I don't like being touched usually, so I will definitely go back.
And Ben, you are as knotted up as an old crocheted blanket, you probably
my neck
need
right now is quite tight. Thank you very much.
Yes, there's a little voucher for you.
That's very nice.
If you want to know more, just look them up on the internet. They've got a great website. They've got an incredible array of services. They've got a hairdresser there. They do facials, manicures, pedicures, all kinds of treatments in the spa. You can make a whole day of it.
Yeah.
Spoil someone you love.
And that restaurant.
Yes, it's called The Cooking Accountant. It doesn't sound like it's fun, but it is. I mean, anything with accountant in it, you usually get a little worried. But Skin Sense, go and check them out on skinsense.co.za if you want to know more.
I'm
all right?
I'm going there this weekend.
Are you going this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Have you booked something?
I'll get a little some.
Very nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're talking about things that you can get, there are unwired earphones available. You can get them online at takealot.com. Just type in Cliff Central and guess what will pop up. Our Cliff Central unwired earphones that connect to any smartphone or laptop or tablet. You can listen to us, to podcasts, to music. You can take calls. You can watch video. It's great. It's really terrific, especially if you spend a lot of time traveling around and you don't want to have to keep plugging it in or connecting it to Bluetooth or anything else. You just have these on Bluetooth all the time in your ears, and you can use them wherever you go. In the gym, in the car, when you want to ignore boring people. It's a great way to do it. And in the office these days, they allow people to have headphones on, right?
True.
In a lot of businesses, they allow you to have headphones. So put these earphones in. They're not obtrusive, and you can listen to us rather than your boss. Winning. Uh-huh. And they're only 550 Rand. At Take a Lot, you can shop online, on your phone, or on the app, anytime, anywhere, with cash, on delivery, payment options, and free delivery for your first order. TakeALot.com. Shop anything you can imagine at everyday low prices. My buddy, what's happening in the news?
So just a quick update on the world ending. Yes, that is still, we're still on board for that.
Okay.
Online conspiracists.
Should I be nervous?
Well, it's ending. So I'm gonna go with yes, Gareth.
Should I embrace this? People tell me I've got to get over. I can't control the outcome. That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
So if the end of the world's coming, we may as well all just have fun. We did discuss this once. We said, what would we do?
If we knew that this was all coming to an end.
If we were absolutely sure. And I don't want these religious nuts telling us that this is going to happen and then it doesn't.
But you see, this is where it kind of backfires on them a little bit, because they have predicted numerous times.
Yeah, they've always been wrong. We're still here, right?
So, you know, to answer your question of should you embrace this, did you embrace the other times that this was predicted?
No.
Then I think that you're going to be safe to just ignore this one.
There must be a fruitcake calendar, because this happens almost every year. I go, oh yeah, but this is the real one.
And they do like April. They do like April and May.
It's because you get bored after like start of the year. Okay, new year, new me. Nope. Back to my same old shit.
So
it's ending.
It's Monday the 23rd.
Monday the 23rd of April.
As if Mondays aren't tough enough. The entire world is ending.
So
do we know whether it's going to be fire or water or an asteroid?
the one theory stipulates that on the 23rd, it will mark the start of the rapture and the impending second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm not really sure what a rapture involves. So
what?
No. I mean,
heathen
people. What do they do? Do we just drop dead? Do we rise up into the sky? Well, no. The good people go up to the sky.
Let me tell you.
And then the rest of us just kind of do we get? Somebody explain this to me.
All right, the rapture, brothers and sisters. I'm very happy to be here to explain the rapture to you. In the book of Revelation,
yes,
there is a large amount of time dedicated to explaining to people like you, unbelieving heathens, what will happen when our Lord comes back to earth. Mm-hmm. He is going to come back, and he is only going to take a few people with him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to punish and send to burning hell all of those people who he does not like and approve of. Those people who have broken his sacred laws.
Woo-ho.
And this year it is coming, people. So brace your goddamn selves. So what it is, it's a time where everything's going to come to an end. And the living and the dead are going to rise and join Jesus. Some people say it's described in Paul's first epistle. Mm-hmm. All right. Some people say that it's in the book of Revelations. It's basically the second coming. So first person to arrive for this whole party is going to be Jesus. He's going to arrive. He's going to say, right, let's go.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, there are only a certain number of people who he's going to take with him to heaven.
Yes.
The rest, terrible things are going to happen.
Oh.
There are one or two events that they divided into. They say that the first event will be your rectum will be turned inside out. No, sorry, I read that wrong.
I swear. For 2 seconds, I thought, what is going on?
No, they...
See, don't worry, you're one of the good ones going to heaven.
You know, me and Bra God, we're like this.
No, that
he
was
doesn't
when,
call me Deputy Jesus Christ for nothing.
That was when you still lived in your father's holy house.
Oh,
since then, you have gone astray, my prodigal son. Yeah. Yeah, let's not forget your theme music. So here are the number of failed predictions that have been made. In 1844, William Miller predicted Christ would return between March 21st and March 22nd of that year, 1844. And then when it didn't happen, they called it the Great Disappointment.
Oh.
Which is so interesting because I would have been thrilled. Why would they be disappointed that they're not being taken away in the rapture? 1914, 1918, 1925, 1978, 1988, 1994, 2001 was Harold Camping. You remember him, Mubs?
Yes.
Yeah, Harold Camping was the guy who, he was this really old white dude, miserable looking son of a bitch, an American Christian radio broadcaster. And he was the one who said, oh, the rapture's coming, and you better get ready for it. Do you remember him?
Is he no longer alive?
No.
Okay.
No, he's there. He died, but not in the rapture.
No.
He wasn't successful enough to be raptured.
Well, this new prediction comes courtesy of a self-appointed Christian numerologist by the name of David Mead.
All right. Okay, well, you know what? If it happens, it happens. I'm having a lot of fun at the moment. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to have some great disappointment.
Well, you see, the real question here is, because we did get that message of how I need to be less judgmental, Sia needs to get married, da-da-da.
I'm glad you remember that.
So if, in fact, the world is ending on Monday, I'm thinking it's far too late for me at this stage. I've been pretty much a bad person my whole life.
Yes.
What's a weekend going to do to change my fate?
Nothing. You're hellbound.
Mm. Bra God has already decided that I'm not making the cut.
Mm. You're hellbound.
Yeah. Mm.
So get comfortable, Mubs. Get comfortable with everything burning all the time.
Look, if hell is anything like the way that it was depicted in South Park, I'm going to be fine, hey? Mm. The devil was there. Saddam was there. They were having sex all the time.
Mm.
Nah.
Guys, it was great knowing you.
Well, I've had a fun time, everybody. So I don't have any regrets. If we're not here on Monday,
Well, I know you guys can continue having fun in hell because, you know, I'm going.
Yeah, you're going to heaven.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Sorry. You're going to have.
Ben, you don't seem to be very taken by this rapture thing. Are you not? Are you done? You don't believe in it?
No, Gareth, I think it's just a bunch of hogwash.
Oh. Well, you wait and see, my friend, when your toes are nice and roasty.
No, I would like to see how we get judged, you know, because, again, it's just one big hypocritical story after the next. Mm. So we can't judge, but we get judged, and who's judging?
Think,
and
who do you think's definitely going to heaven?
I think Sia stands Celeste. A good chance.
No, not
Celeste.
Oh, yeah.
Celeste going
definitely.
To heaven.
Yeah.
Mm, mm.
The rest of us will burn in hell.
Celeste is a sweetheart.
Yeah, Celeste is a good person. Oh, listen, if you go to our Twitter, we put up a picture of one of those electric carving knives. Do you remember those things? They were very big in the 80s and 90s in South Africa. They often had an orange underside and a white top or a plain white version.
Mm.
And they had those blades that were serrated that would cut through like roast beef.
And it was a removable blade.
Yes, you'd pull it out of the thing. And it had a big button on the top.
And then you plug it in.
Right.
And then you can cut into
stuff. Two-pin adapter, right?
Yes. Oh, ours used to make the worst sound.
Yeah, I think they all did.
It like, sounded like a mini rapture every time.
You thought that, thought that hell was coming.
That's the sign of the rapture when those things come back into stores and attack us.
It's one of the things my mother refuses to throw away. Ours
Do you
doesn't
still
even
have yours?
Work anymore.
But she won't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Do you have yours, Mubs?
No, I think it got thrown out, hey? No, I never.
Yes, that's a.
that's a sawmill. But yes,
I didn't have one, but my mother had one.
Yeah,
and no, it got thrown out eventually.
I remember my mother had one too. Ben, did you have one in your house?
Maybe
it was like a South Africa. Everyone in South Africa had to have one. It was. They. I
so
think
it was like once a year at Christmas. Or
I
something.
Think they gave them away.
They had standard South African household. Everyone needs to have one.
I didn't give them away.
But can you imagine when, like, the people who made this originally, what a meeting that must have been in the 70s? It's a knife with
but
a motor.
And we must make it orange and white.
And at that moment, they all threw their papers in the air and they're like, that's it, we're going to be gazillionaires.
Yeah.
I'm sure Isabella Jones was consulted when this was launched. Isabel
Jones,
that one.
You keep her good name. May she rest in peace.
Let me tell you about Isabel Jones, because I thought about her a lot over the Easter weekend. She used to review hot cross buns. It was her thing.
Wow.
It was a job. She had a job every year reviewing. She would say,
wait,
and I went to Woolworths, and I went to Pick and Pay, and I went to OK, and I went to ShopRite, and I compared all their hot cross buns.
Yeah.
Wait, was this like a show? Did she write an article about
She used to
about
do it
them?
In the newspapers. She used to do it on television. It was a big, like a big thing.
You waited for that list.
Are you kidding? If Isabel Jones said you must buy your hot cross buns from ShopRite.
You must buy them. See, as a consumer journalist, her word was more valuable than God's word.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now.
Sia, in fact, that's a woman who's definitely in heaven because God needs some tips what to buy.
Sia, if you were caught buying hot cross buns outside of where she recommended, she would come at you with an electric knife because she had two holstered on her the whole time.
She had a show. She had a show called Fair Deal.
Fair Deal.
And she would pitch up this little woman without a neck.
She always wore those old lady shoes.
She
was the sturdy heel.
Without a neck.
This little old lady with no neck, she would pitch up at the business and she'd knock, she'd rap on the door. It's Isabel Jones from Fair Deal. And people would shit themselves.
Yeah.
They would throw things out of the window. They'd put everything into the paper shredder, the coffee cups.
Yeah.
You can't
Jumping
believe
out
what
of
people
windows.
They were screaming. Oh, trust me, Isabel Jones came to your business, you were going to go down because she was the consumer protector. And my God, did she fight for the consumer.
What
I
a
heard,
legend.
I heard Carte Blanche.
She brought down the bread cartel once.
Yeah. I heard Carte Blanche offered her a job and she said, you motherfuckers are a bunch of pussies.
Wow.
That's right.
I'm reading an article about her now.
Yeah,
she wouldn't take the job. It was just too soft.
She said to, you know Devi, who's so hardcore?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She told Devi, You're a pussy. She used that term.
Wow.
No.
What a filthy mouth.
You're scared of gangsters. I'm not scared of gangsters. She would ride a Harley into the gangsters' meetings.
I remember there were times where if I had fallen ill and missed school. the days of the infomercials.
That's all I remember her from.
At
very
like
much.
8, 9, 10 in the morning, they just bombarded you with 2 hours of just infomercials. Yep. And they always gave Isabel like a 30-minute slot where she would also come on and just approve a range of products.
Right. Because if she said yes, it sold like hot crust buns.
She was,
what a story.
She was both.
God
it was
bless her.
It was... The Ricky Lake show, that was like the missing school.
And there was that woman, there was that black woman who used to do brand power, helping you buy better.
Oh,
you
remember her? That's still around.
Is it still around?
It's still
shockingly so.
Well, look, the whole thing is, when you really go back into history, she was seen, this is a dodgy moment in her career because she was seen to sell out. You know, she was this wrecking ball, and then she suddenly was,
brand doing very power. Mark stuff.
Yeah, people read it. Yeah.
Oh, well. Not everybody has their wings clipped.
Isabel Jones.
She lost her hair.
Carte Blanche actually went after her about this whole weight loss product that she was flogging.
Oh, really? Oh. You see, they were trying to get back at her. You see what happens?
Yeah.
Anyway, the rapture's coming. What do we give a shit?
Yeah.
Gosh, she died at the age of 72.
Yeah, she had a good
Isabel
time.
Jones has been dead for 10 years.
That's why the world's gone to shit. Here's Harold Camping predicting the end of the world all those years ago, and of course he died, but... there is another doomsday coming. Here's what he said. This was back in 2011. All right, listen to this quickly. Harold Camping.
He was the preacher behind those end of the world predictions.
97% of the people God will destroy.
I don't believe in such
judgment days that kept coming and going.
The world did not end. We are still.
But now the world has ended for Harold Camping long after he predicted it would. Predictions so wrong that he once said reporters would be thinking,
I'm ready to shoot myself or go on a booze trip.
He was wrong in 1994 and again when he announced the end would come May 21st, 2011. One follower spent $140,000 on ads warning of Judgment Day.
That's your life savings.
A good chunk of it.
A documentary filmmaker followed Robert Fitzpatrick to Times Square to ring in the end of the world.
It's 6 o'clock! We're still alive!
And of course, nothing happened.
I didn't water my plants. I didn't do the dishes before I left. I didn't expect to be going back home.
And though you felt sorry for some who believed, it was hard not to mock.
But this is my birthday. To put this on me is just weird.
Happy doomsday, dear genie.
The rapture, true believers ascending to heaven, was also mocked when it didn't happen, with photos showing clothing left behind.
But if it had happened, it might have looked like this.
When May 21st came and went, Camping revised the date to 5 months later.
At that time, the whole world will be destroyed.
Eye-rolling reporters got a tongue-lashing from a supporter.
You can't just turn your cameras on him. When you have taken and run with this, and you love this story because it's good for you.
Who can resist end-of-the-world stories with end-of-the-world parties?
Only the good die.
Camping wasn't young. He was 92 when his radio network said he passed on to glory this past Sunday after suffering from a fall last month. He did eventually apologize for his prediction, saying, "We tremble before God as we humbly ask him for forgiveness for making that sinful statement." His own reports of his death were always premature.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be here after October 21st.
Genimo, CNN, New York.
So this guy kept on predicting everything would end, and the one thing he couldn't get wrong, couldn't get right, was when he was going to end.
Oh.
No, really, I mean, what an idiot. What an idiot. Okay. We got 2 days left, everybody. Let's have fun. Mm. What else is in the news, Mubs?
So there is a former radio DJ.
Oh.
Yeah. And his wife that had to appear in court in Cape Town yesterday. And this is after drugs worth 2.6 million rand were allegedly found at their home.
Is this Jenny Chris Williams?
Wow.
Yes. Of course.
Oh, you said it was a man.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay.
Dino Michael?
Who the hell's that?
I don't know.
He's a famous DJ?
Well,
Jesus, have I been out of radio for a long time? This guy's a famous DJ?
The headlines yesterday...
Never heard of him.
The headlines yesterday read, top DJ / popular DJ.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, but I think once you just become a DJ, you're seen as a top DJ because every party will always over-advertise you. Top
DJ. He's
DJs.
A top DJ?
Well, he used to be on Good Hope FM.
I wouldn't know him if he jumped out of my Rice Krispies and bit me on my titties.
He had a Saturday night deep house show.
Oh.
Branded.
Then he's not a top DJ. If you're doing Saturday night, you're not a top DJ.
It was called Godfather's House.
Well, that's the first clue that someone is doing something dodgy. The Godfather House?
Anyway, so hang a second. So essentially a DJ, as in a real music playing DJ, okay. was bust with drugs.
Yes, Finn.
And this is a wow. This is a story to the media. These guys can't always just make their money from spinning the tunes.
Wait,
they
but
sell
for
drugs?
Millions of rands?
Well,
they sell drugs.
2.6 million rands worth.
Well, see, if you're going to sell drugs, you're not going to sell a couple here and there. You've got to go big.
So he... Okay, well, that makes sense. Listen, if you're a DJ, you could sell a lot of drugs because you're up in the DJ booth. You carry your bags in.
You have access to people.
Drugs. I should have done that. I'm so stupid. I've never, ever taken advantage of these opportunities. That's why I'm not rich.
It's like people come to say, oh, can you play Come On Eileen? And you go, okay, cool, but you got to buy a gram of Coke. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. The Hawk said that Michaels was arrested on Tuesday this week after cocaine and MDMA, as well as 300,000 rand in cash, were seized in a raid at their home.
He had 300,000 cash.
And they stole his hush money.
He must have been a top DJ if he had 300,000 cash just lying around.
I mean, did the cash come from the DJing or from the side business of selling drugs or dealing in drugs? I don't know.
Well, it normally happens with these drug deals, allegedly, is that when they make a bust, the smaller guy will take the rap here. So if he's got 300,000 rand, then there is someone up the hill with 3 million rand,
mm-hmm.
3 Thai hookers, and a suitcase of heroin.
And are you so...
Hello, this is the DJ.
What?
Hi.
Oh.
I'm here to tell you the whole story.
Oh, please do.
You know, I have 555,000 listeners on a Saturday night.
Sorry.
Which makes me the biggest DJ in the whole country.
Well, no, see, I'm reading here that you are a former DJ, so you're no longer on Good Hope.
You know that I won an NTN Radio Award?
I mean...
What is that?
Good.
Nobody knows.
Yes.
Did you get that with a contract?
And a pack of condoms.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're going into clubs, you must have had the drugs in your bag, then you'd sell to the kids in the club when you were doing your gigs, right?
Yes, that was my modus operandi.
So...
They never search your bags if you're a DJ, and you always get to the front of the queue, and you go straight in, and then you just hand them out at the DJ booth.
Well...
And then sometimes you get your dick sucked under the counter.
Oh.
Well, you know what? It says here that you are the resident DJ at Chinchilla in Camps Bay.
That's right.
Do you think that Chinchilla are now going to renew their contract or...
I'll tell you what, their party is not going to be as much fun anymore.
You go on, DJ Dino.
Because all those kids without the drugs, they're no fun.
Yeah.
They're going to be sitting around looking at each other going, this is only vodka. I can't handle only vodka. Where's my MDMA?
I see the court here yesterday was told that you and your wife usually travel twice a year. What kind of destinations do you like?
Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela. You know, beautiful South American countries with great beaches.
Oh, sure.
Colombia doesn't have beaches, but they've got mountains.
Well, I hear the South American women are also nice to look at.
Right.
Yeah,
but most of our stuff is just sourced here.
So now what's going to happen to your son who's in grade 6? I mean, this must be affecting him terribly.
I have groomed him to be a DJ. He'll be fine.
You've groomed him to be
He's going to be a top DJ.
You've groomed him to be just a DJ?
Yes, on Good Hope FM.
Okay.
Good Hope FM.
Dino, I mean, thank you for calling. It's... I think that's an exclusive. Jesus. I don't think any other platform has spoken to Dino, so...
There we go. We should submit this to the news networks.
It's called the Godfather of Soul.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
I thought that was James Brown.
Ah, yes, yes.
I'm pretty sure that was James Brown. Who the hell does this guy think he is taking the Godfather of Soul? That's James Brown.
He should be arrested for plagiarism.
Yeah, if anything.
I admire this guy.
But
actually,
you know what? Because here's another thing. His wife was arrested with him. So
family, that's the couple that sells drugs together.
Stays together.
There we go.
But, goes to jail together.
And won't stay in the same cell, but okay.
They were freed on 50,000 rand bail, but your 2.6 million rand worth of drugs, that's going to be quite a charge to face.
I wonder if he'll be doing a show tomorrow.
Yeah, is he like?
What are we going to do without the Godfather of Soul?
I mean,
on a Saturday night?
What are Chinchilla now going to do in Camps Bay?
Cape Town, you poor thing.
He's their resident DJ.
First the water, now you don't have DJ Divo Dino. What's his name?
Dino Godfather.
Dino Godfather.
Dino. Deep Michael. Dino. Dino just, goes deep.
Just Dino Michael.
What's the bet his name is Sven? Not even Dino.
It's Cheslin.
Oh my God, it's Cheslin or Selfred.
Supposedly he was very sweaty in court. He kept on wiping his forehead.
Yeah, but DJs never look good. I can speak with experience. we're not used to being in front of the cameras. We're used to being behind the microphone. DJs make no effort with their appearance. Some of them are so fat.
Oh yeah.
Well, he's fat, right?
This guy is
quite
fat.
There we go. I knew it.
Then he was.
Let me describe him. I haven't even seen him.
Okay, go ahead. With a name as well, like Dino Michael.
Right, I'll tell you what he looks like. He's fat. He wears loose-fitting clothing. He might even be a little balding.
He's completely bald.
There we go. Right.
You do see some. There's a bit patches of grey.
There's a little bit of puffiness maybe on the sides, and he's definitely. He looks tired.
Yeah, well, those bags under his eyes.
Right, because he's up in clubs until 4 in the morning selling his drugs and playing music.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a horrible job.
I mean, he's actually doing two jobs at once. He's DJing and he's selling drugs.
He's probably got stubble. I'd imagine there's some stubble.
Perhaps the wife was helping him, but you are right with stubble as well.
But it goes hand in hand, guys. I mean, I used to DJ in Cape Town back in the day, and I was always asked for drugs.
DJ Ben K.
It's like, can you see me with some coke?
Granted, it
was a lot of foreigners.
You must be cool, because no one has ever asked me for drugs. Ever.
That's because you're a celebrity DJ. It's a big difference. No one's going to come.
But so is DJ Dino Magnificent. What's his name?
The Godfather.
DJ Dino Billingsbush.
The Godfather of Funk. Yeah, but the thing is, like, he's institution. He's institutionalized drugs. That's what he is.
All right.
But in Cape Town, when you go Joel, it's not like here. In Joburg, when you go Joel, it's to go show off your new tattoo or how orange your girlfriend is.
Oh.
In Cape Town, when you go Joel, you're pretty much Joeling.
It makes it sound like the Jersey Shore. I stopped listening after how orange your girlfriend is. Is that a thing?
It's a lot more show in Joburg, whereas in Cape Town, people are Joeling like they've just had their one Mandrax pill for the week or, you know... It's a bit like, it's just different.
Wow.
So that's why the Godfather of
Soul,
he's been around forever and you'll never hear about him because he's in the clubs.
So how do these people ask you for drugs? They walked up to you and they said what specifically?
Yeah, like,
hi, so DJ Ben K. Hi, I'm 14. I'd love some of your drugs.
So is this like before your set, after your set, while you're on the decks?
I mean, when I used to play, I used to be passionate about DJing, when I felt music was still fun. Like, I used to have a good time. People thought maybe I was on drugs.
Bouncing around.
Be like, yeah, mate, can you set me up with something? I was like, no, I don't take requests.
Don't you remember? Someone sent us a picture of Ben in a Borat mankini DJing at a party once. Oh, yeah. Ben was wearing a Borat mankini. You've got to see these pictures.
I threw it out there. But yeah, I mean, when I DJed in Camps Bay...
You must have been on drugs to wear a Borat mankini, Ben.
Camps Bay, did you ever DJ in Chinchilla?
No, Chinchilla was before my time.
Oh, okay.
But when I used to DJ in Camps Bay, that's when I would be asked for drugs the most. Because it's Camps Bay and...
Did they say what kind of drugs they wanted?
Everyone wants a bit of sniff, basically.
Oh, this is coke, right?
Mostly cocaine. Okay. It's just...
And you said it was mostly foreigners asking you for the drugs.
Yeah, well, it's just like this international culture. You know, when you're a civilized country, you obviously do lots of more drugs. Whereas here, a lot of people are so naive, they're just either car barring or just drinking at the bar, which is a bit amateurish, really.
Hmm.
If you're not on drugs, you're not really partying.
You know what? DJ Dino Mabudo.
Dino Michael.
That's the one. He doesn't have to worry because the rapture's coming.
Monday, that's probably why, and he's out on bail already, so right. It's not like he's going to spend the weekend in prison.
No, he gets to spend the weekend with his family. Monday, we're all dead.
Yeah. I have another question. So they raided their home. Mm-hmm. In that situation, do the police, or in this case the Hawks, do they automatically just arrest everyone? Because what if the wife didn't know anything about the drugs business? Mm-hmm. Let's assume she didn't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll find out.
Do they arrive at the home and then they say, right, we're taking everyone in this house in? Or
good point.
Do they only take you in if they consider you a suspect as well? In which case, then she obviously knew about the drugs. How does it work?
I think they thought she was a suspect because they arrested them both. They didn't arrest the kid.
Well, I think, of course.
How old's the kid for?
He's in grade 6.
Grade 6, he's 12.
Well, that's old enough to sell drugs.
Well, actually, yeah, in some circumstances, it really is.
Oh, yes.
It really is.
Mm. Oh, well, you know what? I mean, the people always go on about entrepreneurship.
That's quite a stretch.
People are always going on, you know, if you, and this guy worked for the SABC. I mean, Good Hope FM's owned by the SABC.
Yeah.
He did one Saturday a week. You can't live on that.
What are you getting at here? What's the moral of the story?
He had to supplement his income. he was hustling.
But you are the resident DJ at Chinchilla. You're getting regular pay.
I mean, look, he's got his Chinchilla gig, but he was also, he must have had merch. I mean, he must have had Godfather of Dance shirts.
He had a Godfather.
That's supplementing your income. Supplementing your income is playing at a bar mitzvah. Not selling so much dress that you have.
You missed the term top. Popular DJ. They don't do bar mitzvahs.
Now, if you can afford the Godfather of Funk, then you are
Godfather of you guys are not going to get his name or his tagline right. DJ Dino Michael.
You reckon he was the rabbi
Godfather
of soul that day?
Of soul.
Oh well, you know what? In solidarity, I think all the DJs.
Are you about to make an excuse for this drug dealer? Drug lord.
All the DJs need to resign.
And
protest.
I think so too. But also, in solidarity for fellow entrepreneurs, we wish this guy luck.
What?
I'm not going with anything that you both have said.
He's creating employment.
He's helping kids. These kids want drugs. They're not going to buy it from him. They'll buy it from a less popular DJ, and then it'll be cut with horrible stuff. I mean, he's a top DJ. Everybody's heard of him.
I hope his drugs were top, because if he was selling horrible drugs, I got no sympathy. Mm-hmm.
All right, what else is going on?
So how often...
What a story.
I know.
Top DJ.
How often do we ask the question, what would I do in a situation like this? Let's say you are busy minding your own business, mm-hmm. and then you look out of your window because you heard a woman screaming, mm-hmm. and what you see out of your bedroom window is this woman being punched by some strange person. What do you do? Do you mind your own business?
Well,
do you go outside to investigate? Do you go outside and just start attacking the other man?
That's a tough question.
It is.
You would all want to answer, I will run outside and do something. And I think sometimes, I've been in fight or flight moments, and you'd be surprised what you can actually do. So,
yeah, Ben's been shot at.
Yeah, look, I think everybody would like to do that.
Ben found a dead person.
Unless you're like the Molly Molly monster, and you've paid that person to punch that woman, then it's different.
Because, you know, on one hand, it's a case of somebody is in trouble, and if I can help, then I'm going to try and help. But then on the other hand, it's a case of,
look,
what if this this man beating her up turns around, pulls out a gun or a knife? Well, next thing I know, I'm dead on the ground.
So I saw a video. Someone sent me a video on one of these groups that I'm on WhatsApp the other day. This guy is talking to a woman next to a pool, and some other dude... have you seen this video?
Yes.
Some other dude comes up behind him and pushes him in the pool. He comes out of the water and starts shooting his gun.
Don't you play.
At everybody. And people just run. They scram in different directions. I mean, it's terrifying.
Talk about a situation escalating quickly.
You don't need that. There was this Halloween prank I saw last year. Some dude, like, they come up to this guy in a dark tunnel, and they say to him, and he's wearing a mask and he's a monster, right? He jumps out from behind something, and this guy pulls out his gun and starts shooting at this monster, which is what I would do.
There we go.
Now, you put yourself in some serious danger. Okay, so The woman's screaming. Mm. She's being punched by a man. Mm. If I'm right there when it happens, if I'm standing next to her, or if I'm more than, let's say, less than 5 meters away, yes, I'm going to run and help. If I'm upstairs and I look down and it's on the street, I'm not going to run down the stairs to become part of the situation. I'll call the police.
And I think a lot of people would probably not be comfortable admitting that, but that is exactly what most of us would do.
Yeah, we're not all heroes.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank you for mentioning that. As the saying goes, not all heroes wear capes. In some fact, they wear a lot less, because a hero dad has now been given a bravery award for saving this woman who turns out was in the process of being kidnapped.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's number one.
Oh, no.
But the best part about the
poor
story...
Woman, if I were there, the poor woman would have been kidnapped. Yeah. We'd never have heard of her again.
The best part about the story is that this guy was wearing just his boxer shorts.
Oh.
When he heard this woman screaming, looked out of his bedroom window, dived out of his bedroom window in only his boxer shorts, and then went over and started beating the shit out of this other guy.
That's incredible.
Who then eventually just gave up. He was covered in blood, and he just made a run for it.
He's a hero, right?
Well, he is being given a bravery award. This happened in the UK? I think it's in the UK.
That's amazing.
Andrew Paxton, 39 years old, yes. Leaping into action, literally jumping out of his window to go and save this woman.
Wow.
Yeah, he is a car dealer, and, you know, he's now making headlines, and people are commending him for his bravery. He said, I was lying in bed with my son and my partner, and I heard a very, very loud bellowing. Huh. It was panic. Please help. Please help. He's trying to kill me. I jumped out of the bedroom window onto the street and ran to where it was coming from. It was like instinct, he says. I didn't even have enough time to open the front door.
Well, you're lucky if he's your neighbor and not me.
Yeah.
At least.
I don't know what... I think I would... I'd call the police. I don't want to get involved. You know, you could get yourself into some serious trouble. And then you end up with two people in trouble. Because they'll still kidnap the chick and they'll punch me in the throat and I'll be lying there bleeding or something. I don't know. It's so hard. I don't think I'm a hero.
Yeah, it's not that I wouldn't want to. I just know I couldn't.
Look, don't call me if you're in trouble, all right?
Who am I to punch someone like, oh, if you saw me running to save you, would you feel at ease?
No, you know what? No. I mean, okay, so so this is an obvious thing, but let me change the situation. Let's replace this woman. She's no longer a stranger. She is your sister.
Oh, you're going to help.
You see?
No, sure.
So you are capable of it.
If it's some stranger, no, just screw her. But if it's, family, I'll help. Ben, you mentioned in Fight or Flight, you've done some amazing things. So, like, describe it to us because you actually have real-world experience here. Maybe give us some insights.
Look, I think the more severe situation, the less time you think. And we all program to a certain extent. Another thing is, if someone is bigger than you, your thought process changes. So if someone was smaller than you, if there was a small man, okay, small old man, punching someone, you would run over there and you would drop kick him like Nas Boota used to scorp the Super Springbok. If he's a large man.
If he's like the size of The Rock.
If he's like...
Oh, yeah.
And he's there. And you'll be like, hi, sorry.
Stop hitting her.
Please.
Stop hitting her.
Mind, she's screaming and I'm trying to get some work done here. Just quiet down a bit. Thank you.
Take that indoors.
We are programmed like this, guys. And you know what?
Although I've got
we're not all Isabel Jones.
Yeah, but there are Isabel Joneses. Like, I've got a friend who, he was at a party just 2 weeks ago. Now, he's a married man. He's got three kids. He's a very, like, chilled guy, but he used to, in his youth, be quite wild. So he was at this party. He was telling me the story. We had lunch. He said he was joking with this one girl at this party, and one of the guys kind of got all antsy and decided he would, you know, one of these millennials who believes like he's an activist, got up in his face and started giving. So he just like headbutted him. And then this guy was on the ground. Then one of his big friends came towards him and he was unafraid, this friend of mine, because he's just one of those lunatics who doesn't really give a shit. You get those people.
Yeah, sure.
And it all was fine in the end.
If you're taking Dino's drugs, also helps.
Yes. Sure. Do you think if Dino.
Uh oh.
Well, we all know him, right? He's a top DJ.
Sure.
If he were around,
Godfather Deep Dina.
Yeah, you think he would get involved, help this woman? If she was a customer, maybe?
Client, yeah.
Yeah. Say, yeah. He would.
Yeah, if she had just bought the Dwellums.
Yeah.
And some other guy was trying to steal them, I think Dina would get in there.
All right. Mm-mm.
Guys, can I give you some fun weekend activity?
Look, this is in your opinion fun. Let's just preface this. when Sia says it's fun, it might be really hard. You're going to say theater or something, aren't you?
Oh.
You're going to say musicals.
I'm going to picture like a wine picnic somewhere.
Oh,
I don't know.
Jesus. Yeah, all right. It's going to be a wine picnic.
The finale of The Fixer's on, so possibly no. But really, please follow this account on Twitter because I've never had so much fun. At Bored Elon Musk.
Oh, I've forgotten. I've taken Twitter off my phone.
Oh, that's a big move.
This is a parody account.
Sure.
Was created in 2013. And basically, whoever this person or these people are, they tweet out inventions that they wish Elon Musk could have created. Just scrolling down this timeline. At first, I thought this is so crazy. But then there are some I'm like, actually, why does this not exist?
Like what?
So well worth it.
Give me an example.
Here we go. How about spray-on gift wrap?
Oh, that would be magic. Yes. I would be a massive fan of that.
Or a glove you wear to the grocery store that can detect the ripeness of the produce you're squeezing. Sometimes you go there, you want to buy some avocado, but you don't know how long it will last. Imagine having a glove that will tell you how ripe something is.
Yeah, okay.
If you have a pet, how about a blanket that temporarily stiffens inappropriate spots so that if your pet walks on you in the morning, it stiffens and it doesn't wake you up?
Yes, good idea.
This I don't know if I'm about, though. An airline where every pilot is a working stand-up comic. So they do their stand-up routine during their flight.
Jesus.
A movie theater bathroom with screens synced to the film you're watching. So when you go up to use the loo during a movie, you don't miss out on anything. And a news app that connects to your blood pressure monitor.
Okay.
And adjusts your feed, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, accordingly compared to your heart rate. So maybe sometimes you can't stand to read another negative news story.
Yeah, I really like that one. I feel like we all need that one. How many times do we get outraged over news stories that pile up in our feed? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, bored Elon Musk.
I like that. I'm following him already.
Just go ahead and read. It's so much fun.
Speaking of Twitter, though, Duduzane Zuma said, and this is what he actually tweeted out just yesterday. Mm. I've just been informed the NPA has decided to pursue spelt wrong, with the culpable homicide charges against me brought forward by AfriForum, even after I've asked for extra time to prepare for my presentation. I will come to South Africa and finally clear my name. So let's organize a welcoming committee at OR Tambo, shall we?
But do you? Okay.
What? No, finish that thought.
I mean, I'm just wondering if he's tweeting this because he knows that Monday it's all over anyway.
Yeah, it's the rapture.
The world ends.
He knows. He's been listening to us.
Okay.
Sure. When he does arrive, that's going to have all kinds of headlines popping out left, right, and center.
George Meany coming to join us just now for our little motoring update, which always finishes off our Friday mornings nicely. Hey, by the way, you know we had the guys in here just the other day. They are from Lifestyle Home and Garden, right?
Mm.
Which is on Beyers, Nordea, and Esterhout, I think, in Randburg, Rand Park Ridge, actually. Go and take a look at what they've got there. The selection is incredible. And it's the weekend, so you've got some time. You know, winter's going to be horrible. And if you don't have a couple of nice indoor plants to make the green in your house shine and to make your house a little bit more oxygenated, you're going to be sorry. Don't have a horrible, wintry, miserable, gray, dull house. These guys can help you with indoor and outdoor spaces. So I've done some chemical research. Here are some of the toxins that plague our indoor spaces. Are you listening?
Ooh.
Formaldehyde. Do you know that this is a dangerous poison?
What is that?
Formaldehyde, C2H6, I think. What it does is a tissue fixative.
Mm.
They use it. You know those jars of dead animals and organs and things that you see in laboratories?
Like to preserve it?
That's formaldehyde. It's formalin. Formaldehyde dissolved in water.
Don't the mortuaries use that as
yes.
well?
Yes. Dangerous. Guess what? It's found in tissues, serviettes, wood products, synthetic fabrics. And guess what the plants do? They take it out of the air. They use the carbon and the hydrogen. And guess what they put back?
Oxygen.
That's right.
Oh.
Trichloroethylene. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
You know that smell of Tippex and paint and varnishes and household cleaners?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's trichloroethylene in there. You need to get that out of the air too. Benzene. Now, you know, there used to be people who drank benzene.
Yes.
Do you know how dangerous that is? Do you know that benzene is a carcinogen? It gives you cancer.
Jeez.
Yes. And it's in, you could buy benzene at the hardware store. Got to be careful with that stuff. So benzene is commonly found in cleaning products and fertilizers. And guess what? The plants help with benzene. Because plants can take all these things and convert them into something useful.
Like you don't really think about such, but yeah. we actually should.
Ammonia. NH3.
Oh, that I know.
You know smelling salts? That's the smell of ammonia.
It's also in a lot of cleaning detergents,
correct.
Right?
Commonly used in cleaning products, as yeah. you say, fertilizers as well. And you've got to be careful with ammonia. You have too much ammonia, it will actually make your throat sore and you won't be able to talk. Mm-hmm. Xylene, which is found in nail polish, tobacco smoke, paint. So, you know how if you've got asthma like Mabali, she can hardly breathe. Hard.
The asthma.
She has the asthma. And if you've got allergies as a result of common toxins, these are things that could plague you the whole way through winter. The simple addition of a houseplant or a few of them can help to alleviate these everyday problems. Not to mention the reduction in stress levels and the increase in productivity that results from the cleaner air and an increase in oxygen levels. So next week we'll talk about gardening in all its forms and how it's a platform for expression, your five senses.
Ooh.
It's about being creative, earthiness, being one with nature, extending your personality and your personal taste around your house.
Hmm.
What are these things called?
I know there's the mother-in-law's tongue.
It's like the mother's lizard, Sir Zuckerberg tongue?
It's a Sansevieria, a mother-in-law's tongue. Converts carbon dioxide into oxygen, making it ideal for the bedroom. A snake plant or a mother-in-law's tongue. Don't you like it, Sia? Mm-hmm. Oh. They're pretty. It's the only real plants we've got in this room. We've got the fake plant. These are the real ones.
But this is what I like, though. The fact that just making these small changes can make a massive impact in your health.
Pull that.
Well, and also they look pretty, but I
pull
mean,
that crap. Yeah, pull that
important.
Crap out of the air and help your whole environment at home. So 5 minutes of info to help you flourish with the new green revolution trend and to help you understand the importance of plants and greenery in your environment. It's not just pretty, especially with winter coming up and the time that you're going to spend indoors. That's the Green Revolution, and it's all happening with Lifestyle Home Garden. They're in Rand Park Ridge on the corner of Beyers Nordea and Esterhout Avenue. And if you want to find out more, you can go to lifestyle.co.za. Choose your lifestyle with Lifestyle Home Garden.
Something cool to do over the weekend, so go and visit them.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You want to go or shall I go? I got an email.
No, you go.
All right. This is from Tertia in Worcester, which you spell Worcester.
Yes.
Tertia listens to us. She said, I've been listening to you guys via podcast since I reside in Worcester in the Western Cape. You're my pickup in the morning and you brighten my day when I'm doing dreary things. Before I start sounding like a soppy love song, let me get to the point. Yes, thank you, Tertia. If you were on the line, I would have said the same thing. So you want to hear what she says? She says, I loved listening to your very brief conversation with Mike from Durban about religion. I also used to be a very religious person and deconverted about 6 years ago. Amazingly, both my parents also deconverted. Is that a word? After being devoted Christians all their lives. I was a lecturer in critical thinking skills at Stellenbosch University, and my interactions with students, colleagues, and family members convinced me religion is the single most harmful idea to humanity. The only way we can make the world a better place is by employing critical thinking, which doesn't come naturally and needs constant hard work. Religion is one of the factors that prevents this essential skill from being taught and acted upon. Just a few notes on the historicity of Jesus and Moses from Tertia. She says, number one, Moses did not exist, nor were there Israelites who were slaves in Egypt. There has been no evidence found, despite every attempt, for this biblical story, and believe me, I researched the hell out of it. Number two, the movement of Jesus mythicism is growing with more and more scholars becoming convinced that he didn't really live, but is an amalgamation of a range of itinerant preachers and certain myths. I'm agnostic on the topic of whether Jesus really lived, but it makes no real difference either way. If he lived, he was far more terrible than good. Well, that's her opinion. Mm. I made a study of this too, but I won't bore you with the details. Best regards, Tertia in Worcestershire.
The Worcestershire.
No, you've got to pronounce it right.
Worcester. Anyway. I mean, there's Tertia, right? Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Just a great feedback. I don't agree with everything she says. Mm. You don't have to either.
Mm. Mm.
In fact, I hate Tertia's opinions.
Oh.
No.
I have always hated them.
Always?
Sounds very personal.
No.
Quite.
No, I don't even. No.
Strong.
I don't know. She's Ben's friend.
Oh.
Yeah, sure. We un-Jesused together about 10 years ago.
Right.
Oh, it's Ben's friend. Okay.
It's a thing that they get together every Sunday and they gloat about how they don't have to go to church, but kind of do a churchy thing. No. All right, so listen, everybody. It's Friday morning, which is always my favorite because it's when George Meany pops by with a couple of the important stories that we need to pay attention to in the week. So how are you, George?
All right, and you, Gareth?
Good. What interesting shit have you brought us today?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
No,
interesting shit.
Interesting shit. Yes. Do you know that when I say to someone, this is some interesting shit, that I love it? Then I'm curious.
Sure, that's an oxymoron.
No, I'm telling you. You've never brought us a boring story.
So, do you think we should care about the Syrian civil war?
If you're telling me I should, and if my bully tells me I should, I should. Mubs, should I care?
I think we should care.
Okay. George, I should care?
I think we should care.
All right.
But I'm coming at that from a different angle.
Go on.
Because it increases our fuel prices.
Oh, shit. All right. See? It's interesting shit. You see that?
Exactly. Exactly. There's another fuel price hike in May.
What happens?
41 cents a liter. So we're going from...
Is this because of Assad? I suppose maybe a lot of the oil comes through Syria.
Yes.
Ay, ay, ay.
Exactly. The Middle East. So we're going from R14.48 to R14.89. And if you remember last month, which is a distant memory,
yes,
we went up by 72 cents a litre. So another 41 cents a litre. So we went up by 5% last month. We're going up by 2.5% or 3% this month, which means that each month you're probably paying in the region of R100 a month more in fuel.
This is a terrible way to start our Friday morning.
Well, it gets more interesting from here.
Okay. Well, it's still practical information. So the price is going to go up again. Brace yourselves, everybody.
Exactly. Go and fill up before the first Tuesday of every month because that's when the price goes
up. Okay.
And then you know about wireless cell phone charging. Ben, do you know about wireless cell phone charging?
I do, George. It's great. You put a phone onto a little thing and it charges by itself with no wires.
You don't
at
have
all.
To plug it in.
Yeah, you got to plug the pad in at the moment, the next step for that is you'll be able to walk into your house and not even put it on the pad and your cell phone will charge.
It'll charge through the air?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's the technology already exists. So what China's doing is China's trying to take it one step further. They've got the section of highway that 45,000 cars travel on every day,
mm-hmm.
and they're busy putting solar energy onto this highway.
Yeah.
That can power the highway and 800 homes around it.
That's phenomenal.
But what they're building into this technology is they want to make the road smart, which means that the future of electric vehicles means that this road will charge your car as you drive on the highway.
Fantastic. So we will have electric cars and our cell phones being charged while we're sitting in the Chinese traffic.
Exactly.
And imagine what that would do for people in the N1.
And this is all to China's drive to become a stronger leader in manufacturing.
Wow. Imagine all of that stuff happening while you are sitting in traffic.
That's my view.
Because then we don't need the fuel price increase that George was talking about because we'll have an electric car. You have your phone being charged. And it'll be self-driving, so you'll be able to be on your phone.
Exactly.
You could sext someone, Sia, while you're sitting in traffic. And your phone will be at 100%, and you won't have to worry about where you're going because your car will do that thinking for you.
Like I got a challenge for Sia.
That's
I got a challenge for Sia.
Okay.
What socks am I wearing today?
This is a whole game. Let me explain to everybody what this is. Every time George comes in, Sia and George have a sock off.
Yes.
Which is kind of...
That's the thing.
Sia has noticed, and it is something that George keeps on the DL. You know, he wears these very interesting socks. It's his fashion thing. And
yes.
Of course, Sia, with his eagle eyes, picked this out immediately.
He did. He even photographed it.
I definitely know today there's a polka dot situation.
Not really, ooh. No. I thought of wearing those today, but then I thought it would be too easy for you.
I can't tell.
They've got mustaches on it.
Oh. Very nice.
We approve.
You approve.
We approve.
Anyway, we're getting off track.
Not at all. This is very important to some people.
Yeah, everybody knows Knight Rider, right?
Oh, are you kidding?
David
I used
Hasselhoff.
To watch that show. I wanted that car more desperately than you could imagine. I had a little model one. I used to build the interior of kit and then and put the different buttons and things and pretend I was driving. I was like 7 or 8.
Uh-huh.
Man, yeah. I used to love that show. Knight Rider.
Everybody wanted to be David Hasselhoff and wanted a kit car. Well, it's not too far off because the United States is busy committing to having short-range wireless technology by 2021, which means that every car on the road will be able to talk to each other within 300 meters.
They will be talking. Like
they will be
kit.
Talking. Well, it'll be in their binary language, but they'll be talking to each other. And within 300 meters, the car will be able to communicate. And Toyota, funnily enough, has already installed this technology in over 100,000 cars in Japan since 2015.
A shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist.
That car, that was the best car. I don't care what anyone says. There's no car they've come up with since the 80s that's better than kit.
Okay.
What's that, George?
There's an entire cult in America dedicated to kit and Knight Rider.
Oh, I loved that car.
2021.
It had a little screen, though. It had a little, like he had a little TV screen. And it was very small. They could have made that as big as a Tesla's one. I think that could have been an improvement. Man.
So talking about connected cars.
Mm-hmm.
If we think in the world of motoring, you can't learn from Facebook, we should.
Uh-oh.
Because the Zuck has been questioned for 2 days in front of the U.S. Congress. You know that, right?
Yes, we saw that. Very embarrassing for Congress, actually.
And the alien stories came out stronger than ever.
Yes, that he's a lizard. We know that, too.
And I actually watched that YouTube video that that started this alien story.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway... We should be concerned about this entire Facebook debacle and the way in which Facebook has handled the data privacy, because talking about connected cars, how much will the information that is floating between cars and through the airwaves in 2021, how valuable will that be?
Well, I mean, to a wife whose husband's cheating,
hey.
Very important.
I saw you going to number 47 Oak Avenue 14 times this week.
No, it won't even be I saw, I heard, I got the receipts, I got the proof.
Your car told me.
Yes.
So theory has it that the data from the cars alone will become more valuable than the car in the next couple of years. Especially with autonomous driving, driving patterns, driving behaviors.
Right.
And driving locations, as Sia put it.
Well, how do we protect that? I mean, can we register all our information and say that we own it and nobody else does? Or is the car manufacturer going
to
have that?
Well, I think it's important to, as we navigate life, to understand that we trade functionality for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't entirely agree with what Facebook has done, but at the end of the day, every user did give Facebook the permission.
That's right. You opt in when you sign all those terms and conditions that nobody reads.
So as we move towards this this world of connected cars and autonomous driving vehicles, be careful what you opt in for, because that could be the privacy issue that befalls you sometime down the line when you trade that for functionality.
I will opt in for a Knight Rider car, for a kit.
I agree.
I'll opt in for that. You could have all my information. I could give a shit. Take it. Give me a kit.
You say that now.
Sia, you don't. Right. You never watched this show. Shut up.
Hey, I used to watch it when I bunked school every once in a while after Isabel Jones.
You were born in the 90s.
The reruns were on SABC2. I still remember.
Please. It's different when you were. There was nothing else on TV when we watched Knight Rider. It was the most exciting show because the next most exciting show was Pumpkin Patch.
Oh, I remember Pumpkin Patch.
Oh, you guys were so spoiled for choice. How I envy thee.
We didn't have the internet. We had to wait. They'd say, next week's episode. Do you remember that, my buddy? Those years of, like, next week on this show. And you'd go, oh, I have to wait a whole week.
And we did.
It felt like whistles. Hell, now you download the whole season of the whole series and you watch it in one day.
I got the fright of my life yesterday when I saw Brooke and Ridge.
Oh, are they still alive?
On the Bold and the Beautiful. Ooh. And are was just like, wow.
Are they still alive?
Yes.
Are they still in love?
I don't know. I saw them for a split second.
I mean, Ridge must look like Betty White by now, let alone Brooke. Two of them. My God. They're still going?
Yeah.
Brooke Logan.
What's that, Bold and the Beautiful?
How old are you, Sia? You remember the surname.
Don't get me started on Brooke Logan and the Fosters and the Fashion Empire and the Liver.
Do you remember that? Who was that horribly, horribly ugly woman?
Sally Spector.
That's it. Sweet Jesus. The eye makeup alone was like that villain in The Little Mermaid.
We're getting sidetracked.
Anyway, George, so sorry. Badly.
That's it. I'm done
George
for.
George is he's outraged. George is never coming back.
I'm getting the came feel that to, he actually yeah. was a Bold and Beautiful fan.
No, though. George came in here to talk some sense yeah. into us and give us some useful information. All we've done is ended up in Bold and the Beautiful land. What a joke.
Well, same time as Knight Rider, right?
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
All right, George, here's your exit music for this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. George Meany. And don't forget, Auto Central, a brand new fresh episode recorded this week. They reviewed the latest news from the world of motoring, and they talked about the Auto Trader South African Bike Festival, which is coming up. Also reviewed the Mercedes AMG GTS. That's a car, huh?
Oh, I took it for a drive.
God, I love that car. I've got pictures of that car saved on my phone. Yeah, some people have porn. I've got pictures of that car. And they'll also give you an insight into what will power the cars of the future. If you want to hear all of this, head over to cliffcentral.com and you can hear the podcast powered by Auto Trader and hosted by Tyron and by George and by Chad. And you could hear their interesting guests who they have there as well. All right, that's Auto Central on cliffcentral.com. Go and find it now. Here's your music, George. All right, we will see you on Monday between 6 and 9. I'm going to leave you with a discussion, very interesting conversation that we had with a guy his name is Tongai Chirisa, and we were talking about his journey from Zimbabwean soap star to Hollywood actor. Starring in a whole host of high-profile shows with some of the biggest names in the business, Tongai has gone from parking the cars of celebrities to becoming one himself, and that discussion is all yours in just the next few minutes right here on cliffcentral.com. Have an awesome weekend.
This is cliffcentral.com.